Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. Joshua, chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. And we're going to do something a little different. We're all going to read verse 1 together. I'll read verses 2 through 4 because there's some pretty tough names in there. Joshua chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. We'll all read verse 1 together, and then I'll read verses 2 through 4. All right, you ready? Here we go. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Jeshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even under the borders of Ekron, northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, and the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, and the Ashkelonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira, that is beside the Sidonians, and Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites. And let's pray. Father, you have been so good to us. Lord, this morning this place was packed and jammed with people and folks flooding these aisles for salvation. Lord, what a great service we had. But Lord, this morning's blessings won't do. We need you tonight. We're a needy people. We're so sinful, we're in need of preaching over and over and over again. Now, Lord, please use our preacher. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change us so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of this evening's sermon is found inside the verse found in Joshua 13:1. The Lord chose to write these words there. There remaineth yet very much land to possess. Please listen to me this evening. And though I'm preaching to the whole crowd here, those of you that are 40 years of age and older, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Very carefully. God says to Joshua, Joshua, you're old. You are stricken in years. You're not as young as you used to be. Your age has slowed your body down some. But he then said, there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. You see, he said, there's still much territory that needs to be conquered. Being a little older than you used to be is not equivalent to death. I'll tell you something. Those of you that are under the age of 40, you'll find this out. When you hit about 40, your body begins to slow down some. Honestly, health-wise, your metabolism slows. But may I say to all of you, just because you're in that age bracket doesn't mean it's time for you to quit on God. Listen carefully. There remaineth yet very much land to possess. Did you know that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came? He had just built an ark. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. He reared a son at the age of 100. It was at 100 the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed in Genesis 22:18, where Abraham would become the father of many nations. Moses was 80 years old when he challenged Pharaoh about the captivity in Egypt. Aaron was 83 years old when God instructed him to cast down his rod before Pharaoh that it might turn into a snake. Sarah was 100 years old when she gave birth to a young man by the name of Isaac. Caleb was in his 80s when he claimed victory about the promised land, and we sing the song, I Want That Mountain Where the Milk and Honey Flows. Now God, here in this passage, comes to Joshua, and it says, Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. God was saying, Joshua, I know your body feels old, but you have a lot of life to live. And I expect you to live it. I don't expect you to get on the sidelines and just watch now. Why is it that we seem to want to lead the work of the Lord to the youth? That's not God's plan. Listen, I'm going to encourage some of you. I'm going to challenge some of you. I'm going to try to get some of you out of your laziness. I'm going to get some of you out of your hopelessness. But listen very carefully. Some 400 names of the most noted people of all times from all walks of life were chosen for a study. That study was about their age and the success they achieved with their age. These were statesmen. They were painters, warriors, writers, businessmen, laborers. This is what the study revealed. The study revealed that 35% of the world's greatest achievements were accomplished by people between 60 and 70 years old. 23% of the world's greatest achievements were accomplished by people between 70 and 80 years old. 6% of the greatest achievements were accomplished by people over 80 years old. Meaning this, 64% of the world's greatest achievements were accomplished by people age 60 or older. Those between the ages of 50 and 60 achieved 25% of the greatest accomplishments. Those between 40 and 50 achieved 10% of the greatest accomplishments. Listen to this, only 1% was attributed to people under 40. But see, you're 40 or older, and you've already given up. You're already in a coma. Dr. J. Frank Norris accepted a pastor to the Temple Baptist Church of Detroit, Michigan at age 58. He pastored two large churches at the same time for 15 years and grew them to 5,000. He started at age 58. Pappy Reveal did not start his ministry until he was 40. His greatest works came in his 50s and 60s. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. founded his university at 43. He was 63 when he relocated that university to Greenville, South Carolina. Lester Roloff was 40 years old before his ministry became nationwide. Dr. John R. Rice was 60 before his newspaper and ministry really took off in America. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, at age 41, became the pastor of his great church. At 41, then he pastored it for 15 years. He came to America into evangelism for 14 years. At the age 70, he went back to England and pastored his church until he was 80. W.B. Riley became the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota, at the age of 36. He pastored that very same church for 50 years. He pastored all the way until he was 86 years old, a church of 2,500 people. And you're 40, and you're dying already. R.A. Torrey's ministry bloomed when he was in his 50s. D.L. Moody founded his Bible college when he was 52 years old. Dr. R.G. Lee went to the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee at the age of 41. He pastored that church for 32 years. At the age of 73, he became an evangelist for the next 20 years of his life and only stopped traveling at age 93. Dr. Russell Anderson, who's given $35 million of his money to the Lord's work, made his first million at age 40. He retired as a businessman at age 68 and is in full-time evangelism and is 75 right now and travels every week of his life and still full of energy. Dr. Harold Seitler died at the age of 84 but pastored his church for 55 years. And from the age 48 to the age 84, he averaged preaching 40 revivals a year while pastoring his church. At the age of 40, Dr. Bill Rice started the historically great Bill Rice Ranch. Dr. Jack Hiles pastored for 54 years. He started Hiles Anderson College at age 46. In his 70s, he was still preaching and teaching and leading the world's largest Sunday school while traveling the world at over 100,000 miles a year. Dr. Lee Robertson, at the age 97, is still preaching. At the age of 91, he was conducting revival services in a minimum of 150 churches a year. And you're 30 and you're tired. People aren't put together today like they used to be. People back then weren't afraid of work. We weren't soft. Dr. Tom Malone started the Midwestern Baptist College at age 40. Currently, he is 91 and still traveling and preaching. I don't believe that as you get old, you're supposed to stop serving God. The term old is relative. You're not to retire on God. Stay healthy as you grow older so you can continue to serve God. And when you retire from your secular job, serve God with your time. Look, some of you look around here and you see that I have goals for the young people and the children. And I do. Indeed, I do. I want our young people to serve God. But don't you let that make you think that those that have hit your middle years and that are in your senior years, that God doesn't want to use you. I have goals and I have dreams for this entire congregation. I call upon the mature, seasoned, experienced people to set up and step up and help lead the way. I'll say this again later. The reason why churches across America are going the new modern liberal route with their Christianity is because we have turned the churches over to the young people. We have got to have the old generation that won World War II and the old generation that made this country what it is. We've got to have them at the helm. We've got to have their leadership. When you turn a country over to the youth, they'll turn it into a country that has no connection to the past. And when you don't have a connection to the past, you don't bring to the present the old time ways of God. And the reason why your churches are going haywire out there and becoming contemporary and modern is because you turn it over to the young people. And I say we need those in their middle years and their senior years to rise up and help us keep this church an old-time religion church. And so, please, let me apply that to our lives this evening. Number one, some here can do more for God in your middle and later years than you did in your youth. You say, what? Oh, yeah. Some people here can do more for God in your middle years and in your older years than what you did when you were young. You say, how is that, Brother Owens? I'll tell you how. Because you did very little to nothing for Christ in your youth. There are some of you, if you had to testify what you did for God when you were young, you'd have to say, nothing. I was lost. I was in the world. Well, guess what? Then, if you didn't do nothing for God in your youth, I guess you can beat that now. Maybe you were saved later in life, so you misuse your youth. Don't misuse your middle years and your senior years. Now is your chance to serve God. And so when I say some here can do more at this era in your life than what you did earlier, you see how. If you didn't do anything for Him earlier, surely you can do something now. Some here were saved at an early part of your life, but you became backslidden and you never did anything for Jesus. You're now sitting in a church where we're doing something for Jesus. This is your chance. Some of you now are in church and you're learning. Some of you were maybe saved when you were young, but you've never been taught how to be a soul winner. Never been taught how to really serve God and do something for Him. But now you're learning it. And I say to you, there are some of you here that can do more for God in these middle years of your life and the latter years of your life than you did in your youth. And you ought to do that. Hey, just because that you've got a few years on you does not mean that you are not needed. It does not mean that you're just set on the sidelines. Not at all. Not at all. Number two, you may not be able to do as much as you once did, but you can do something. Don't let your age lie to you. Now, I want you to be careful. I'm not asking my 90-year-olds to start riding skateboards. But you can still serve God. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Now, God won't require you to do what you can't do. But He does want you to do what you can do. He does want you to do something. Look, you got to face something, folks. If you have a heart that is beating, boom, 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 boom. That means you're still alive. And if you're still alive, you're alive to serve God. You say, but I'm 60, I'm 70. Are you alive? Serve God. That's why you're alive. You say, well, when will I know when I'm to stop? You'll be dead, bud. You'll know when that time comes. It'll be very obvious to you. If you're alive, serve Him. Everybody should do something more than just watch. He said, well, Brother Owens, you said you're talking specifically those 40 and up. And you say, aren't you saying those of us that are 40? Are you talking to us like senior citizens? Some of you act like one. You ought to take care of yourself so you've got enough energy for no other reason to serve God. I said, number one, I said, some here can do more in your middle years and your later years than you did in your youth. Number two, you may not be able to do as much as you once did, but you can do something. Number three, we are not to live off of our memories in regard to our service to God. I'm glad if we have memories. I want us to have memories. But I thank God. And listen, I thank God for all that you have accomplished. Thank God for it. Past memories can't take the place of God, of what God wants you to do now. We are to serve God now. Is every testimony you have about your service to God historical? Are you a used-to-beer? Are the only soul-winning experiences you can tell from the past? Are you telling me that at a certain age you can't tell someone about Jesus anymore? Let's see. Can you talk? If you can still talk, talk about Jesus. If you can still talk, you can still take a New Testament and show somebody how to be born again. But why is it we think, well, at my age, you don't have to serve God anymore? Oh, that's baloney. Somebody better tell Noah that. Somebody better tell that group of people I read to you earlier that. Oh, not at all. Not at all. We're not to just live off of our memories. Hey, I realize you can't do everything you once did, and to those of you that are in your middle years, it's time for you to just stop whining about things and get busy for God. But for some of you that are in your latter years, I know you can't do everything you once did. I know that. You know that. God knows that. But you can do something, and you need to stop living off your memories and do something now. Are you a used-to-beer? Are the only visitors that you can talk about bringing to church from 30 years ago? Let's see. Can a person get too old to invite someone to come to church? Well, I don't see how that could happen. You got a neighbor? Do you go to the store? You got a telephone? Do your lips still work? Well, I'm going to guess you could say to someone, come to church with me. Let's see. If we did an experiment, I'm going to guess everybody in their 70s could say, would you please come to church with me? I'm going to guess they'd do that. If we did a little experiment, I'm going to guess people in their 60s could still tell people about Jesus. And in their 50s, and in their 40s. I've even got a hunch that you could do it if you're in your 80s or 90s. You could still say, would you come to church with me? You could probably say it more than once a day. And at that age, what do you got to do all day? Stare at your wife's varicose veins? Look forward to your next dose of Metamucil? Couple different flavors throughout the day to add some variety and spice to your life? Look, you can't live off those memories forever. God didn't intend that. He's glad they're there, but if you're alive today, He still wants to use you. We get this idea that we get to a certain age and we're done. Done serving God. I'll go by and watch, but I'm not participating anymore. Number next. Nobody has paid their dues. Nobody's paid their dues. Hey, we all need to be careful not to think that we're out of debt to God. Because you're not. We never will be out of debt to God. How could we ever be out of debt to God? We're to serve Him till the day we die. We're not just to love Him till the day we die. And the Bible teaches if you love Him, you will serve Him. But we're not just to love Him, not just to follow Him. We are to serve Him. Nobody could ever totally pay their dues to God for the heaven He gave His Son to make available to us. So, if you get this idea, say, I've done my part. How'd you do that? How did you pay God back for not sending you to hell? How'd you do that? You must not know what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't pay Him back. We're serving till the day we die. Hey, look, you may not have as much energy as somebody that's 20, but you can give as much of the energy that you have as a 20-year-old can give as much of the energy they have. You're to give all the energy you can. And I'd be careful developing an attitude that says, I've paid my dues. No, you haven't. None of us have. Number next. You have a slower body, but you have experience and wisdom that younger folks do not have. Yes, your body will slow down, but your mind has gained wisdom. Your mind has gained experience. Your spiritual life has gained some valuable knowledge. No, you don't feel as attractive as you once did. But your experience and your wisdom is needed. And though your body, you may not feel as attractive, your wisdom is beautiful. And God knows we need it around here. We need the experience of the old gray hairs. We need the experience of those who have reared children. We need the experience of those who have built their businesses. And let me tell you something. I need those people to rise up and say, I want to be involved. I don't want to just watch. I need the example of those that are in their middle and later years to show my young couples and my teenagers that serving God is for a lifetime. If not, they're all going to hit their 40s and the teenagers are going to say, when I turn 40, I quit.
Right.
I quit. I'm done. I'll coast for the next 40 years. Come on. Let me tell you some of y'all that you're still working somewhere. You got your job out there? Keep working hard. Don't die on the boss. Be productive. You say, you trying to get something out of me? No. I'm trying to pump life into you. I'm trying to pump life into you. Hey, there's some of you. You need to get something down inside you and say, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live it up for Jesus and keep on living and keep on going. I'm not going to grow old. You just keep going as long as you can. I'll tell you, if you're not careful, you'll give up. You'll hit the grave early. Any man that's worked hard all of his life, if he's not careful and he goes home and he stops working, he'll die soon. Anybody here? Am I right or wrong? I've watched it happen over and over again. I'm coming to the people that I love, especially those in their senior years, and I'm saying to them, I know you can't do all you once did, but do all you can and keep your body fresh. Keep your mind alert and active. Some of you say, my mind's just about gone. Are you using it? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Keep your mind active and involved and committed as much as you can. You'll be surprised what will happen if you keep that old thing a-clicking. Number next, you say, well, Brother Owens, what can I do? Let me give you some things. We'll be done and we'll go home. Be at every church service that you can. I realize, now, most everybody that's here, obviously, you can see well enough to drive at night. If somebody gets to the point where they can't see at night, here'd be my first goal. If I couldn't see to drive, I would be humble enough to have somebody bring me to church. I want to be there. But be at every church service that you can. Number two, pray. Nowhere in the Bible does it say phase out of being a prayer warrior because you've got some gray hair or because your body slowed down. Men, if you can walk, come to men's prayer meeting on Saturday mornings. I tell you what, there's nothing like bowing a knee with the old godly saints of God at the men's prayer meeting. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Come pray with us. Come, be a part. Number three, come soul winning. 6:15 on a Thursday night, Saturday at 9 o'clock. Brother Peterson's 81 years old, never misses soul winning. Never. Can't hear a thing I'm saying tonight, but he's here. He told me when he became a deacon, he said, Brother Owens, I'd be glad to be a deacon, but I don't know if I'll hear anything that goes on in the meetings. But I'll tell you what, he keeps on going. I am so impressed with that man. Well, Peterson, I hope when I'm 81 years old, I'm like you. I want to keep on going. My wife's already like you. She don't hear a thing I say either. I said, Brother, what can I do? Witness to people every chance you get. Pass out gospel tracts. You show me in the Bible where it says, because you're walking with a cane, you can't get out a gospel tract. You show me in the Bible where it says, because you hit 40 and your metabolism slowed down a little bit, you're not supposed to be witnessing anymore. You need to be telling people about Christ. Number five, be a giver. Tithe. Even off your social security. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you stop giving because it's something the government's giving you. But it's true. Give to the Faith Promise Program. You take this thing where we're raising some gifts for our conference guests. Give to that. Be very honest with you. Often, those 40 and up are far more established financially. The young couples that are just getting started cannot support a church. I watch pastors go depending on the young couples who can barely feed themselves because they're just getting started in their careers and they've got all their children young and they've got them in the Christian school. He goes to depend on them and they launch themselves into deep debt trying to help the church because the old people aren't helping. Truth is, some that have some, they're established financially ought to take some pressure off the younger ones and give to Christ. I believe this. There are probably people in this congregation that could help us to build our new buildings that we need to build without the stress being on me to raise all the money. Probably out there. Think of all the money you wasted for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in the world. To give to God doesn't hurt anything. So be a giver. Be loyal. Hey, those of you been around for a little while, won't you show this young generation what loyalty is? Don't run off every time your little feelings are hurt here at this church, young people. Look, we live in a generation where people, their feelings are so soft. I mean, so soft. You know, some of you that have been in this church for years, I'm so proud of you. It's incredible. I love announcing that you've been in the church for 60 plus years. Brother, that is so impressive. And you know what? Somebody that's been in the church for 60 years had their feelings hurt.
Yes.
Things didn't go their way, but they didn't pack their duds and run up the street to some other church where they disagreed. Probably in 50 areas rather than the one little area where they got hurt. There's a dearth of true loyalty. And it will not be taught by the young generation. They're so self-centered. When they get their feelings hurt, they're leaving. I'm gone. You'll be surprised one of these days. Somebody's going to come to me and say, that's it, I'm leaving this church. I'm going to say, don't let the door hit you in the backside on your way out. I won't beg you to stay only so long. The older generation understands loyalty. how to go and work through the inconsistencies of humanity, but stay committed to the old black book and realize we're all sinners trying to do the best that we can, and it's all about my feelings and my emotions. Teach loyalty to the young generation. Hey, if you can, work in a nursery. Look back here at Mrs. Duke. Mrs. Duke, and I've asked her permission to mention this. She's 62 years old. How old are you, Mr. Duke? 68 years old. I was lying for you, and you should have accepted it. She is 68 years old. She is still the director of one of the nurseries here. I think she's been doing it almost 30 years. 68. I'm sure the little ones get on her nerves some, but she wants to help. 68. I can't get some 40-year-olds to help me, though. Or 30-year-olds to help me. Hey, work on the grounds crew if you can. Brother Folk, I scanned the crowd here tonight. But let me tell you something. You know, Brother Folk is 80 years old and mows as much grass as anybody around here.
Right.
80! Still riding that tractor, mowing that grass. Help clean the church if you can. I know Mrs. Tennis still worked around here cleaning the church, 62 years old, happily, very happily doing it. Greet people around the church. Hey, introduce visitors in the church. Don't be a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman that sits there and stews during the service. You have no more right to have a bad attitude than anybody else. You've been around a bunch of old grumpy people. Hey, come to all the services. There's something you could do. Come to all the services. You have that privilege now. We're going to have our old PAS conference. Boy, I'll tell you something. If I were retired, I would spend all the time I could serving God. It'd be like serving God full time with the rest of my life. All you do is sit at home being bored watching television you shouldn't watch. Come to our funerals and support the families that lose loved ones. Be at the day sessions at missions conferences. Go to Brother Bush and say, what can I do around the school? Come, help with the maintenance around the church. Every time I turn around, I find Dick Ord in here. He's 70 years old. You wouldn't believe all the money he saved the church. The man knows maintenance, and he did it for years. And he said, I retired, but I'm not retiring on God. I'll come down to church, and I'll work. Thank God for it. We need your help. Don't let this church be ran by the young people. Come help with bus maintenance. Look at that. 78 years old, still climbing under buses and fixing them. Hey, say amen. If you can still talk, you can every once in a while at least grunt an amen. Amen. If you agree with what's going on, let the younger generation know you agree with it. They're all going to think I'm a bunch of... They're going to think I'm a kook. Those of you that are from the previous generation, you know what I preach. You know where it came from. You lived and grew up in the generation in America like that. If you leave me up here stranded, the young generation is going to think I'm nuts. I thank God for Brother Bob. And every time I get with it, Brother Bob comes and says, don't change, don't change. He just likes me to get mean. You don't know what the comments from those of you that have been around a while mean to me. Because I know where you came from, and though I may not date back that far, hey, I come from the very same direction from which you came. Say amen, it won't hurt you. Support the old-time religion around here. Don't you corrupt with the modernists. And you will if you sit at home and watch a modernist on television all the time. Hey, if you can sing, you ought to still want to sing. Think of Brother Renner, 74 years old. Where are you at, Brother Renner? You 74? Doesn't look a day over 80. I wonder how many times this guy's retired, still working full time. But I'll tell you something. Boy, sings in the choir, starting, they came along and started a new singing group. After he's 70 years old, got in a new singing group. Thank God for it. Be a Sunday school teacher or an assistant teacher. Mrs. Cork, where you at? Mrs. Cork, right back here. I asked her permission. 73 years old. A couple years ago, I said, Mrs. Cork, how would you like to join our team of teachers and assistant teachers? She said, sure. 73.
Good.
Mrs. English, 27 years old. Helping with teaching, and I might say this, I watch her keep up with some of the young ladies when we're decorating. Some of you stood around and watched her work and work and work and work. Hey, age to a degree is relative. You want to get old? Fine. You're not really going to like it much. Why don't you live until the day you die? I mean, live it up and do something for God and accomplish something. Make something happen with what life that you have left. Hey, look, those of you that have slowed down a bit, you can help us make food for the funeral meals that we serve to the families of the deceased around here. You can even work on a bus route. You might not be able to ride it, but no, some can. We've got 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds still working in our bus ministry. Mike Bajan's not an old man, but I tell you this, he's a 58-year-old bus captain. And a good one at that. You know, again, one reason churches today are leaving the old-time religion is, and they're going to the contemporary modern movement is because we're turning the leadership of our churches over to the youth.
Right.
And again, you may not be able to do everything you once did, but you're not dead. Be a participator, not a spectator. And all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to save the rest of your life so it'll be productive, fruitful, and you can feel good about it. To anybody who considers themselves young. Did you hear the age of all those people that I just read and how involved they are around here? The thought that you're under the age of 40 and God can't get anything out of you is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. What good excuse do you have? I don't know what the Lord has for my future. I'm 46 years old. But you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to pastor for the next 30 to 40 years. Right here. And I hope 30 years from now, I can still throw a fit. I can run around this pulpit and kick things. And somebody came to me and said, I ain't ever seen anybody preach like a rock and roll star does a DVD. I think that was a compliment. God came to Joshua and he said, Joshua, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to possess. All God was saying was, Joshua, you got experience, you got a great background, just don't talk about the past. Make something happen with the rest of your life. There's still territory that needs to be possessed. I want the mature Christians of this place to lead us into the future. The young people don't know the way.